You will sleep better than you have ever slept. You've never been this relaxed. Are you ready to change your life?
I'm Rusty Diamond, certified hypnotist. You don't need to leave your house. You can stay in your bed. You can stay in your favorite chair. You just need a computer or your phone. You can get a hold of me. Stay at home. I'll make your life better.
HypnosisIsGreat.com.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.
Yo, man. Boomus Rusty. What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the Public Access Podcast, the podcast, now the podcast out of Pennsylvania, PA. Thank you, everyone, for being here. If you are listening, you can check it out on YouTube. If you're like, what does this guy look like? I want to know. Go on YouTube or Rumble or whatever. I don't know. Something like that. There's places. I don't know. You guys know where to get stuff. And if you're watching this and you go, fuck, dude, I don't want to look at Rusty right now. I don't like this guy, but I know he has awesome content and even better guests. Then you can just go anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Except for you, Mr. Hipster. I'm not on your spot yet, but that's okay. I don't want to be there. I'm everywhere else. So it's time for me to bring on my special guest. And my special guest right here and right now is right here and right now. And my special guest right here and right now is back again, I think after maybe a year or so. Dylan Calm, what is happening?
Hey there, Rusty.
Rusty. Hey there.
Hey now. Hey now. Do you ever watch the Larry Sanders Show? I didn't, but they do a hey now thing, or so I'm told.
Dude,
Rusty, yeah. I don't know if I could do today's show. I'm sorry. I know we did, like, things have changed a lot since we last recorded, and it looks like you've gone fully corporate. It was so overproduced, that intro and everything, now selling out to big advertising. What happened in the last year?
Well, you know, like, I had some people come up to me and they started telling me about all these things that I could get if only I would take a meeting with them. Uh-huh. And next thing I knew, I was blindfolded and taken to this place. It was I don't know how I got there, but so I open my eyes and mm-hmm. they say, hey now.
Hey now, hey now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a hey now kind of thing. And dude, they're like, hey now, we need you to do some things, but here's what you're going to get in exchange for that. Mm. If you do end up saying hey now, but you have to say hey now in a lot of your episodes. And if uh-huh. you do, you know, we'll make you some video stuff. We'll upgrade things a little bit.
Uh-huh. More like, and, a lot, but okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's authentic, and then there's what I just saw, which is just pure corporate greed. Like, this is just over. I mean, the audio, the video, everything was just like the CG, everything. Like, what happened?
Well, I know, man. Because I mean, it was just a thing on my iPhone. And that was the thing. Throw in the middle of a room, man. And then you start just recording or put, you know. But I don't know, man, they started giving me things, and, along with a lot of, things I can't mention right now, they gave me a lot of sure. those kind of things.
Yeah.
Like
that will happen.
you know, some hopscotch games that we played, and I wasn't supposed to say hopscotch. We're playing Skip-Bo. Skip It. Not mm-hmm. Skip-Bo. What is Skip-Bo? Skip-Bo,
I think, is the card name. Skip It is the... It's like something you tie around your ankle and jump around.
Right. The thing before the Razor scooter that would destroy your shins. So
shin destruction, a big shin destruction is always has a finger in the pie. Am I right?
Right. It is. It always has been. Always will be. And that was part of my thing. I wanted a couple Razor scooters for updating my show as well. That was part of the agreement. I wanted just a regular one. Hansel is rolling around in Zoolander for an updated reference of what kind mm-hmm. of scooter that is. And also I wanted an electric one that's a little bigger and that I can ride around.
Hoverboard style?
No, it's like just like kind of a bigger one. You're still standing up on it, and you got the. I guess it's not like that. Like you're riding one of those weird Harleys where you're like
above your head.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't do like the people that do that must have the best strength of anything, just to be able to do that and not pass out. I guess.
Have you ever installed like sheetrock above your head, or even just changing a light bulb, like you're holding a lamp while you're trying to actually screw in the bulb type thing? My arms give out near immediately. Right, it is the most difficult thing to keep your hands above your head,
and these guys are doing it for hours, just fucking hours, just going, and they're
and they have their lady on the back of the bike as well.
Right,
it's a heavy bike.
Yeah, and sometimes playing music or something now.
Mm-hmm. Lowrider, yeah.
Yeah, playing Lowrider, or it's a Lowrider bike, or both. Right.
Never both. You'll never see both. Some unwritten agreement.
When only if it's a scooter. If it's a chopper kind of a thing, it's very much frowned upon. It's what I hear. It's what the kids tell me. But some of them, yes.
Well, I guess I just have to update my brain on what you're doing these days and how you're doing it. It's interesting.
Yeah, well,
it's interesting.
you lock yourself in a room for a year, and you only take days off to go to, I don't know. I did a lot. They also one of the conditions I had was that they would let me go to water parks every so often, and
you're allowed back in water
take
parks.
Some days off. Yeah, dude, man, there's been some close calls, dude. There's been some close calls at those water parks.
Okay.
What? Yeah. Right. Dude. Oh man.
Background. Is this background? Is this real or is this that is real? Oh, wow.
It is real.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see. Okay. So that's not a corporate CG cat tower behind you.
Oh no. This is a real deal cat tower. But actually the CGI is just really good. It's usually some cats who come in here that I have to do a little programming to have them come up. I'm actually trying to teach one of them have you seen those dogs and sometimes other animals that go and they like push buttons with their paws to say something like I want food, bitch. For some reason
that's where they start.
Bitch, they put bitch on there, so it's like food now, bitch. Like
I'd like to be put in my place. Yeah,
right.
And I own my pets, so it is nice for the little reversal every once in a while. Yeah,
right. And so that's what happens. So they do that. Well, is that coffee cup? Is that a reheatable one? Kind of a thing?
Yeah, I also sold out, by the way. I went big on my podcast. So I got, actually, it was a gift from my wife. But yeah, it keeps my, so I drink throughout the morning. Like,
okay.
Gosh, my cutoff is noon. I'm actually trying to just have two cups and drink it because my teeth are yellowing so bad because I just drink coffee for hours. Which, by the way, your teeth are incredibly white. I wanted to ask about your teeth. Probably was going to save that for coffee, off the air, man. But what's
no,
that?
I don't know. Drinking coffee, man. And it's the light. It's the light.
It's the light?
It's the light.
Are you doing the light that you put in your mouth?
No, I have lights here, and that's making my teeth look white. My teeth are not that white. It's
well,
just
in your
like,
intro, did big.
Oh, and that one. Yeah, dude. Yeah, that was a lot of lights.
Okay,
that was a
okay.
lot of lights.
All right.
My teeth were, yeah.
I don't know if you've already talked about this. It's very likely you have. But you were saying don't drink coffee for the first 40 minutes of waking up if you want to feel the effects. First 90, sorry.
90, 40. Dude, so, which is hard.
Yeah, because you want your coffee to wake you up. Right. And so that means 90 minutes of not.
Right. I mean, you should be like drinking a fucking glass of water first thing you do when you wake up, which
yes,
I don't do. But I should be done. I should be done. Should be drinking a big fucking glass of water. But I don't. But so
yeah, I
can
pro,
tell people too.
A pro climber told me to drink two tall glasses of, well, that she would drink two tall glasses of water as soon as she woke up in the morning just to rehydrate. And I did that for, a couple days.
Yeah. Me too.
But, I'm not a pro athlete. Chicken or the egg of the why, but didn't stick with this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know, dude, like the hour and a half thing, it seems to work pretty well with that, with the, like.
Wait a minute. So was there a research or did you just come up with it on your own and state it like a fact online?
I mean, that's what the internet is, right? You can do that, right?
Okay,
say whatever.
it's stuck in my head. That's so funny. It was based solely off of your own vibes?
No, I mean, there was some research somewhere, probably. But tried it out, and I've stuck to it for a while, and it's worked pretty well. I feel like, because I didn't drink coffee for a long time. I didn't drink coffee for like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years or something.
When you were 5 or 6 is when you started?
Yeah, like I was a baby and I started drinking coffee. So like from, it was like, I didn't until I was like 6. So there was like from about 6
so you
to
had
11.
A long delay. Okay.
I stopped drinking coffee. But then I would just, it was like just only enemas, just coffee enemas. And that was how I'd do it. Cause my teeth, I wanted my teeth to look good.
Right.
So,
yeah. You're on stage constantly. Yeah. You can't mess around with that. So let's say you give up coffee, you go through like the withdrawals or whatever. And then if you actually do just drink a couple glasses of water, were you just fine and not needing it at that point?
Yeah. Well, I would drink tea. I was drinking like non-caffeinated tea. I was doing no caffeine, no nothing.
Nice.
And it was odd.
Pinnacle of health.
Sort of, except like, everything else was just like not good. And so like you would think that it would be the other way around, but I don't know, dude, it was weird. It's weird not drinking caffeine, but it's also weird like not waking up and feeling weird that like I need to do something. It was same with like smoking cigarettes, like and those two always went hand in hand. Knowing like, oh god,
cup?
I got I gotta do where's my cup? I gotta take a piss in it. My PO. Take a whiz for my PO, I think is what they say.
Is that what the kids
what
are saying?
The kids are saying, yeah.
This is the next generation. My God.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, it was weird just waking up and being like, okay, well, I'm just doing the day, man. Like I don't need But now I drink coffee.
Speaking of which, now I'm going to beat you back on it. Speaking of which, I think you messaged me at like 4 a.m., something like that.
Oh, yeah, dude, I had been up for hours. 4 a.m., your time.
Yeah, it was my time, not PA. But I was just like a little curious, like, what's this guy's sleep schedule?
Oh, dude, so I go to bed it was like a thing, but now I just record it. I would go to bed after Jeopardy. So like at 7:30, I'd go to bed. 7:30, maybe fall asleep at 8:30, wake up at like 4, between 4 and 5 somewhere in the morning.
Wow.
So that's like you know, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. your time. I got into it a few years back when I was doing this live streaming stuff, which was weird, with as people in the Philippines at first, and then it was people in like Taiwan mainly, and so it was like weird schedule. Uh-huh.
And you were willing to totally alter your sleep schedule to adopt that, to take it on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Be up at 4 or 5, hop on there. But it was usually me yelling and shit sometimes, so then it get kind of loud, so I had to kind of back off on that a little bit. And now I'm trying to do stuff more morning, so I'm not like, I don't want to do stuff at night, because like once it gets to be about 4 or 5, like I don't really do any live shows anymore out anywhere, because like at 7 o'clock, dude, I'm ready to go to bed. And then it's like, okay, I gotta be on here in like an hour and a half, 2 hours, like, but I'm already like normally going to sleep, so now I just don't really do that, man. It's
trip out. Once, you're ahead
once
of the curve.
Starts doing, yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm getting there, man. I'm getting those buffets with the old people. I'm fucking getting there before them. I'm getting to the YMCA, dude, and fucking taking
power
their
walking.
Spots in there. Yeah, fucking going to the mall and power walking with them.
Aqua Zumba. Yeah,
dude. Fuck yeah, dude. Man, that's where you go. If you're an old person, if you're an old dude and you're listening to this, that's where you go to pick up chicks.
Hmm.
I mean, they're there. There's a lot of them. They're already in their swimsuits. And it's almost always a lot more women in there. And so, yeah.
It is good for the odds. If you're a numbers guy,
if you're a
that sounds like a
guy.
Smart plan.
Yeah, and plus it's good, man. They look like they're having a blast in there every time. I watch them do their thing when I'm in there, and dude, they're having a good time.
I mean, it probably actually is a great. I mean, numbers aside, just like you've got your endorphins going, you're feeling great. Like, share some eye contact with your partner to your left, and you know, maybe there's a little spark, a little connection that wouldn't have been there if you just saw each other at the store.
Right.
Or at the buffet line.
Oh, dude. I guess I live by the biggest buffet in the country here. I haven't been yet.
This makes sense. This tracks.
Yeah. my buffet-ness isn't.
You got the sleep down, but the buffet is going to come in a little later. Got it.
Yeah, buffet is coming a little later. I'll go to places. I'll usually eat like at 3 or 4 in the afternoon. So like, I'm there before the old people are there. I'm there when nobody's there, and it's all the fucking. It's usually places are closed down until an hour or two
dinner
later
time.
When it's dinner time, and I'm in there fucking. Can I still get the lunch special? Is it too late for that?
Oh my god, that is so funny.
Not a bad, bad deal.
You play by your own rules. That is for sure. That has always been the case.
Yeah, and,
you do your own thing.
To. Yeah, I'd probably lose it a little bit if I didn't. A little lose something, but you know, it's all right. You know, sometimes you gotta do some things, and like I can go and yeah, I don't know, especially here, man. Here's a fucking trip. This place is a fucking wild place, man. I like it. I like it. Living amongst the Amish. So,
is that right? Is that where you're podcasting from?
Yeah, dude. Straight up. I got Amish people that live like fucking right there, dude.
Is that right?
Yeah. Dude.
Do you make friends? Do you know your community?
A little bit, yeah. I went to a Christmas party with a bunch of Amish people. It was like a work party kind of a deal, and yeah, dude, it was cool, man. It's weird because they sound like a mix of Canadian and like Bam Margera. Like it's a mix of those two.
I'd ask you to do an impression, but there's zero chance of that not being offensive. So,
right.
No need. But I feel like Amish are like the most misrepresented group. Like, they're so easy. Like, in every movie, they're exactly the same thing. Everybody has an idea of what Amish means, but I feel like the modern Amish community is not at all what we think they are. So I'm curious if you've had any insights.
I haven't, like, gone over to their house or anything for any stuff. Just kind of seeing them in passing, or pass them on the street.
Small talk at a Christmas party, though. There must be, like, a little bit like, oh, okay, this is different than I expected.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got put at the non-Amish table of the party.
Makes sense.
And I was, like, just the kind of guy that was there. And okay. But I talked to some of them for a little bit, but... I don't know. I was like, "Oh, you guys, what do you guys do?" And because we're at a party at some place, but yeah, I don't know. I'll see him around. Like, I don't know. I guess I haven't talked to him all that much.
All right. Okay.
Just it was one time when I was, you know, okay, trying to stay under the radar, I guess.
Oh.
Which happens? Yeah. They knew I was there.
For some reason, or because you're just a little antisocial?
Yeah, snuck in. Yeah, I'm a little antisocial. Snuck into the place and started staring through windows. But, yeah, dude.
It's reminded me of the water park.
Oh, dude. I won't get into that, man.
But we should.
Yeah, maybe I will. Okay, so one time I was at the water park. I went to, because you can buy passes, like day passes at Great Wolf Lodge.
Okay.
And this was in, in Minneapolis, and this was after one of my knee surgeries, not long after, and I went and walked up this big slide, and I get up to the top, and like I would, then they're like, okay, hey, you need to have a group of at least two, and it's just me, and then like I'm like, shit. And it's like a ways back down to go down to the next slide. And like, yeah, walking downstairs was way worse than walking upstairs. And I knew I could do about 3 or 4 slides for the amount of walking I could do in a day then. And so there was like these two girls that were probably like, I don't know, younger, like 8 or something.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And they're like, oh, hey, I'm like, hey, can I get on the tube with you, because there's like a 4-person tube, and because I wanted to go down, dude, and so I go down, and then like I'm like, hey, thanks for letting me go, because I just wanted to go down the ride. And then you know, the parents were there, and they're like, hey, who's this guy? I'm like, dude, I just wanted to fucking go down, I don't give a shit, like but yeah, so that was something that I learned. So now I usually don't. I make sure that I look to see on the sign if it's just for one person, or if I need to have someone else, or if I need to bring a tube.
Smart.
Got really into going to there's a Six Flags that was up in Massachusetts, and I would go there. I went there probably like 9 or 10 times this summer. And so I'm going to try to take some time. And so I don't have to like cancel podcasts. That was part of the thing I had to talk with the corporate people that were like, hey, dude, you got to record podcasts all the time. But
you're on a short leash now.
I'm like, dude, over the summer, Memorial Day to Labor Day, dude, I ain't fucking working a lot. I'm going to go try to do some water slides.
And so I know the corporate overlords are flooding you with money and water slides, but my understanding of you is that you are recording podcasts every moment of the day, or prepping for podcasts. That's and then now I added Jeopardy, and then bed. So you're a bit of a workaholic.
Yeah, and a little bit. And so I'm only doing really just one podcast now. Like last year, it was like that, plus I would do usually 1 or 2 in the afternoon a week, and then maybe another one randomly. And now it's cool. Now I just do one really, and then some other ones every once in a while. But a little bit of a workaholic for it. And then that's That's just this fucking, that's just podcasting. There's a lot of other stuff that,
yeah,
I'm,
let's
I feel
peel
like
it
I'm
back.
always working.
I'm very curious.
It wasn't this year. Isn't this me supposed to be interviewing you? I think this is what.
I guess technically, and that's what happened last time too, but I find you
Yes.
way more interesting than me.
I'm just some
I'm
dude, man.
Fascinated by you.
Well, okay. Thank you. I think. But,
definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, dude.
Definitely
Like,
positive.
things are, I don't know. Like, because
Can
I
I
mean,
ask,
like,
what do you do for a
no.
living? Can I ask that?
Yeah, I'm a hypnotist, and yeah, I'm a hypnotist, and I'm a stay-at-home cat dad.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of each, a little bit
Okay.
of column A, a little bit of column B, and then this show. Yeah, that's about it. Just sort of do my thing, but I can just do it from here, man,
And so,
which is nice.
your partner's okay with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just fucking make sure the cats are happy, man. If the
Yeah,
cats are happy and they're fucking now able to say food now, bitch, and stuff like that to me,
I
once that happens. But yeah, dude, I just got those things yesterday. Got the their little they're like those little buttons, like a plunger button. So like they used to have on game shows where
know. Well, yeah,
okay.
actually, segue, I think we have those in our float tanks because they're not electrical. You push it and it
Oh.
does an air button to something electrical, several feet away.
Okay, yes, one of those. So like that would be the same. So if someone, you can maybe have them it wouldn't say food now, bitch. It might, but I don't know what it translates through to when it gets to you. But yeah, I'm trying to get it. So, because one of the cats, shithead, will start clawing at the window pane and the blinds to open the window. So
Oh,
I'm trying
right.
to get him to push a button that says, like, open the window. And then I'll come over and open the window. I did get him before, trained him to piss in a toilet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
That's the
him and
dream right
the
there.
other cat. Yeah, well, it was hard at first because they say that they want you to use litter,
Right.
and then like slowly take it away. But then like the cat would be like, and fucking dumping litter all in the toilet. So I don't know whatever happened to that toilet. So whoever had that place after me, there's probably some plumbing stuff there. But yeah, man. So trying things with the cat, man.
That's awesome. I love that. I like that you're not doing food because when I think about food now, it's like what cat knows how to pace themselves and only is going to push that button when they need it? My cat feeders on a schedule.
Me
It's
too. It's the smartest fucking thing.
every 12 hours. Yeah, it would be, except my cats never updated their brains to that I don't feed them. So at, 7 in the morning or actually really it's like around 5 or 6 is when it starts, is the meowing right in our faces for food. It's like we are not associated with your food anymore. It goes off at a certain time. And if we make it earlier, then they start meowing earlier. It's terrible. But anyway,
Oh shit.
and what was also weird is that when the time change happened, they seemed to adjust immediately. Like the timer on the food dispenser didn't change, but all of a sudden they wanted food according to the time change, still at 8:30. It's like,
Yeah.
how do you know what is going on? Anyway, I just think a cat that could request food, it would become obese very quickly. That's
Hey,
all.
buddy. Come here. I got this cat plays fetch.
Nice.
Yeah,
Oh,
old
kitty.
Leon Black.
Nice. How many
Yeah,
cats? The
there's two.
shithead
There's
and Leon
Shithead and
Black.
Leon Black. Yeah, I told you about Leon Black, I think, last time.
Did you?
Maybe. So got him. It was when I was living in Salt Lake City, and it was in February, and we got him at the pound,
Aww.
in Salt Lake City in February. Every black animal was free, for Black History Month.
Okay.
So,
Way to work in the theme.
yep.
Interesting.
So, and at that time, very much into Curb Your Enthusiasm, and so it was like, okay, well, that's Leon Black. He's always trying to get up in that ass, so just like Leon Black, so he
Dang it.
became.
Curb is one of those shows I know is like built for me. It would be
Oh
fantastic for
shit.
me. I know, it's insane.
Never mind then. Fuck. All right.
I know. I'm sorry. I feel I can let you down. Like, it's obvious that I would be into it. I've also never seen The Big Lebowski, which whatever I
Wait,
tell people
where
are floored.
kids sweater.
Am I? It's
It looks very much very dude like
weird. Oh, by the way, I don't know if you're into Pussifer or Tool, but this
yeah.
is Caduceus Sellers. A buddy of mine was
Is
just in
Vinery
Sedona and
Vinery
picked this up for me, this t-shirt. So,
the Vinery, yeah, the Vinery he has
yes, that's right. Or plural now. I think he has multiples. I think he might just own the whole
Vinery.
town.
Cool, man. Did you try his wine?
I never have. Somebody gifted me a bottle of his many years ago, but they had already drank it. And oh, there's that. Yeah.
Yeah,
If
good
that's
job,
CG,
buddy.
that's advanced.
Yeah, dude, that's some programming. That
Some
was
wire work.
corporate did that for me. I don't do it.
Nice, nice.
They programmed that in.
Yeah, anyway, so I had a
So,
bottle for a while
yeah.
I don't know what happened to that. But
Okay.
all I got.
But you got the shirt now.
Now I have the shirt. So I'm back on track to not drinking it, but just repping his brand in Oregon. Yeah.
So, were you a tool guy? Are you a tool guy? Is that your kind of style?
It's kind of funny. I remember a conversation with my buddy Dave a long time ago. Oh shoot, I can't remember what their name is. Eagles of Death Metal. He was into Eagles of Death Metal, and I was like,
Okay.
that's a little too heavy for me. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's just too heavy. And he was like, that's exactly how I feel about Tool, which is the band I was into at the time. And I was like, oh, I don't understand how things work. But yeah, I was super into Tool. Like, Lateralis era was totally up my alley, and definitely a big fan. And I would say currently a bigger fan of Pussifer, which I think is a very different band. I don't know, just really cool, very eclectic. It's fun, it's insightful, it's good stuff. Yeah.
Well, same with Green Jello to Green Jelly, which I believe they are doing something new, which is something I just heard a week
I may have
ago
read
or
something about
so.
that a while ago, but yeah, I don't know anything more than that. That
That's do like.
I think there's only one person in that band that was actually like consistent, and it was like such a rotating act of people. I could be misremembering this. I'm not a Green
I
Jell-O
could.
nerd. Green
Well, I mean, yeah, but
Jell-O-head.
it was Maynard and someone else in Tool that I'm blanking who it was.
I don't remember.
And some other dude, but man, that was some weird shit. That fucking Three Little Pigs song was
Not by
some
the
wild
hair on my
stuff.
chinny chin chin. Yeah, the day I found out that was Maynard singing that was a Christmas day for me. Yeah, that
Right.
was.
It's fucking wild, dude. Like, how is that? How did he go to that? How did Like, I don't know, is this complete different? But it's not at all. Like,
I
it's
know.
what you would expect.
He's a
What you
very serious artist goofball. Like, he is a he's a mix. It's a weird thing. Like, he's very silly, but he's very serious. And yeah. And he totally turns people off, like his personality. Also I think he has a lot of insight as well. I think he's very in touch with his self, which makes it to his lyrics, which I enjoy.
Me too. Did
So are you a Tool guy, Pussifer, Perfect Circle, Pearl Jam?
Wait, Pearl Jam? Was he in
Yeah,
Pearl Jam?
all of his bands. Yeah. He was the bassist on 10. No. I'm
Was like, wait, no.
He does a lot.
Soon. Soon,
No,
yeah, dude,
I
I
would peg you as Alice in Chains. That would be my
Ooh. No, man, I don't know. I was into Tool, dude. I remember fucking the Lateralis era. Like, so that was when I was working at Domino's Pizza. And, dude, I worked with some people there. They fucking were big Tool guys. They were like,
that
they were really into it, dude. And cool guys, but, you know, like,
really into it.
They were like the really into Tool guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, I got into it, dude. Like, that was back in the time when I had a fucking the speaker box in the back of the trunk.
Uh-huh.
Like, my trunk was the speaker box and listening to Tool.
Nice.
Kind of a deal. Nice. Like, usually in the winter it'd be a thing. And yeah, man, I was pretty into it, and went and saw them in concert. I want to say, I don't remember, because it was like there were two concerts, and I want to say it was Nine Inch Nails and Tool together, and then
wow.
I saw Nine Inch Nails again right after that up in Tacoma or Seattle. I think it was in Seattle. Wow. I think it was at the Arena.
Cool.
But I think it was Tool and Nine Inch Nails, or I went and saw them like right at the same time.
That would
if
be
it
fantastic.
Wasn't, but it was like 2007, maybe 2000
okay.
and late 2000,
2000
and late,
yeah,
2000 late,
so big. I'm stepping on
there.
Leprechauns. Yeah.
Yeah,
did they have did Tool have people on stage like walking around all weird, like in the music video, contortionist-y and swinging?
Don't remember that.
Okay,
because
when I saw that, yeah, I've seen Tool many times, and that was my first show, and it was just my first Tool show, not my first live show. But yeah, anyway, that one just blew my mind. It was just absolutely incredible, and I've never seen them do a show like that where they had, I don't know, like extras, people on stage, that kind of thing. But
was it at the Rose Garden?
It must have been, yeah.
Yeah,
now called the Moda Center. Yeah.
Now called the Moda Center. Yeah, dude, I think that's what it was. Like, 'cause I remember, like, tickets were pretty expensive, but I remember at least, like, and then with the Nine Inch Nails part, like, they put on, like, I remember that being, like, a huge fucking production.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So but I've seen Nine Inch Nails a number of times. I actually just saw them at Edgefield, which was great because it's like a smaller outdoor venue.
Did you stay?
Did I say no? Just drove out there for it.
Okay.
Yeah, not a long drive at all.
Right.
And it was actually funny. I went by myself. I was really like, gosh, should I go? Should I not go? I was really going back and forth on it for so long. And then day of, I was like, I'm totally gonna regret it if I don't go to this show. I did. I went. I had a blast. It was so weird to be at a show by myself, but I loved that I was by myself. And it also meant I was able to really easily get very close to the stage. And oh my gosh, it was so great. And I really love Alessandro Cortini, who generally does kind of like the beeps and the boops for Nine Inch Nails, especially the live shows. But he was put on bass, which I was a little disappointed by. But anyway, and then he has said, he's like, I want to spend more time with my family, and, you know, no tours are on the docket or anything. So probably is not his last show, because he does this. He goes in these cycles of kind of burnout, then being at home, and then getting inspired, and then creating more art, and then going on tour. But for certainly the last for a while. So I was pretty stoked that I got to go see him. And he rocks. Like, I mean, he's in his 50s or 60s at this point, probably late 50s would be my guess. And just absolutely crushing it on stage, tons of energy. Ah, so good.
Because, I mean, dude, he's been going since the 80s when he was in a synth pop band,
yep,
which I'm forgetting the name of.
Me too, but yeah.
Dude, you know what? I got into a few years ago on YouTube. There was they did a demo, the whole like demo version of every song on Pretty Hate Machine.
Oh, interesting.
And so yeah, it's like all the tracks, but they're all kind of like a very simple version, a lot mm-hmm. less produced version
cool.
of each song. And it was
well, pretty... you know, I hate overproduced, so I would love that.
Right.
This show is just a turn off for me.
Yeah.
It's so overproduced.
Before all that shit came on, man. All this
That's
shit,
great.
man. I'm just gonna tear it all down. Yeah.
Tear it down, burn it.
Tear it down.
But I would love the stripped down version. I edit a lot of photography. That's one of the things I do. I'm a photographer, and then I edit. I love just putting on live Nine Inch Nails shows. That's like my thing. I put on a show and in the background, and maybe I'll look up every once in a while I'm editing. But at one point I was like, oh my God, I'm into Nine Inch Nails. I am like fish heads or the Grateful Dead people who like, they're tracking all the live albums or live recordings of all these shows. They're like, oh shit, I am online looking for live albums now, not just YouTube, but like there's a whole slew of people go there and record with they're called Zoom mics, I think, something like that. Like
Okay,
anyway,
yeah.
nice mobile recorders. And then they go in and kind of master it so it sounds better. And they upload these things in like FLAC format so you can technically stream, which I'm sure it's not even recording at that high of a quality, but you can stream these fantastic recordings of these live shows. And I'm like, how did I become this guy? Like, I've always been into Nine Inch Nails, but like, of all bands, this one has just stood the test of time. And I think he's a great live performer too. I mean, I guess I could that I am that guy. Now I'm going to talk for 10 minutes about why he's great. You just don't get fish, man. Like, I don't know.
You're not a fish guy. You're not a fish guy. Or have you ever been to a fish show? That's always the follow-up question. If you don't like fish, have you ever been to a fish show? Like,
Totally.
no, I
Yeah,
haven't.
that's
I
so
have
funny.
not, man.
And I feel
Not
like
good,
that's so.
dude.
I was talking to some folks at the gym. We're all talking about what do we listen to when we're working out, and I was like Nine Inch Nails, and this girl was like, "Oh, that's hardcore. That's heavy." And I want to be like, "No." It's like I just feel the energy. I don't listen to mostly like the. I don't listen to Downward Spiral because that's just too dark and intense. It's a masterpiece, but I just
Not when you're
can't
working out.
casually listen to that. Yeah, it's more. I want to say later stuff, but really just after that, pretty much everything is fine. The Fragile, not as much, but he just rocks, right? And so I want to be like, no, his life's, he's got this energy, man. It's just like, it pumps and it's all done so well. You just got to see this guy. It's so good. Just like Fish or Dave Matthews Band. Yeah.
Where are you with Dave Matthews Band?
I checked out around these crowded streets. I would say like, I can still get down with that. I would say when Dave went electric is when I officially was just like, nah, I'm out.
Oh, officially,
It's on my passport. It's official. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, yeah, dude, like, it's really odd the how easy it is to like get a good recording on a live show, because I mean it used to just be like in the Napster LimeWire days, and you go and you get like live version of this song was just what the fuck is this, man? Like,
Totally.
I don't want to hear, and you hear the person and the next to him like singing along with the song, and they're like,
Oh
okay, all right,
my gosh.
that's
Did we talk about this last time or did I have a conversation with somebody else? Because I was
I don't
thinking,
know.
was talking with somebody about on LimeWire, you download a song or Kazaa, you download the song, and then it's like some local radio station you've never heard of talking over the track while it's playing. Like, ah, oh, damn it. Anyways, and you spent an hour and a half downloading this track because it's on dial up. It was a
DJ
brutal
Street.
time. Yeah. Yeah. Right over the J-Lo track you were downloading for some reason.
Right,
Yeah.
for yeah, and yeah, always fucking, I don't know, man. It was a time, and I don't know how do you explain that to people now. And then now you can just get these great versions of it. I was watching. It was like someone uploaded on YouTube, like the Woodstock '94 Nine Inch Nails
Sure.
set. Dude,
Pretty
that was
famous.
fucking. It, well, yeah, okay, like. Yeah, with a bunch of
Yeah.
mud and was that 94? I think it was
I
94.
think 94 is right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun one to watch. And like
Yeah.
just, you get some shit. And one thing though, with Nine Inch Nails too is, like, I think one of the best things that Trent Reznor did was fucking teaming up with David Bowie and like that Lost Highway fucking era of their shit, dude. I fucking love that, dude. I can't like, not a lot of people know that part, and they're like, wait, when did
they
that happen?
Together.
And then like, who watched fucking Lost Highway? Like, I still don't think I ever watched that movie, but that soundtrack was
the soundtrack. I think is more
killer,
famous than the movie, more listened to or watched. Sorry to be the fish guy more here, but there's some great live stuff with David Bowie and Trent, because they did tour together, and then they would both be on stage together. Yeah, they became friends, and apparently my friend David really helped Trent with his sobriety. It was like a good friend through his sobriety as well. So
good, awesome,
good stuff there. Did you ever get into Black Star, his David's last album, my buddy David's last album?
Your buddy David, he emailed you a copy, right?
It was pre-release. Again, he knows I like the raw stuff before they do all the mastering and everything. Right. The overproduction, it's just not my thing. So he sends me like you said, the demos, the test tapes, all that stuff. He sends it to me over LimeWire. So sometimes there is some extra scratchiness that honestly I enjoy. So, and he knows, he knew. I'd say thanks, David.
DJ David. I hope that happens.
Somehow it just going over the over Kazaa means it just gets that printed on it like a watermark.
I haven't, man. I fucking want a chicken, dude. No, so it was his last project before
He knew he was moving on. It was just, I think it was released like a day or two before or after his death. I can't remember exactly that. I could be misremembering that, but the Oregon Symphony does like a, I don't know if branded is the right, a themed show every once in a while. And I went to my brother for my dad's birthday present, got him tickets to see I think it was the guy who played saxophone on Black Star, teamed up with the symphony and other band members and singers and put on a David Bowie symphony at the Schnitz. And he took me as well. And that was fantastic. Super cool.
That sounds like a fucking...
Anyway, so you just got to see him live, man. It's just, that's the way to hear it. This really connects. Actually, the Pussifer, oftentimes he'll release an album and it won't fully connect with me. I'll be like, this is just so out there. I don't know. It just doesn't resonate, and then I'll see him live because that's what I do, and then the album will totally make sense and it will just be like opening up my heart chakras. Yes, I am absolutely one with this album now. It's so weird how that works.
I mean, does that ever happen with you with other stuff, with their movies or other music acts, like where you're like, I don't get it, and then you're like, see it again, like, oh.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I have great shame, but Dune, the latest Villeneuve Dune, like I watch it and I'm so overwhelmed with how big it is. And I have a problem with that. God, wow. There's a theme here on things like just the grandness of things. I just get kind of overwhelmed, and I have to watch a movie a couple times before, or these big budget movies, before I can just like absorb it and like be excited or caught up in the plot and all that. But finally, before Dune 2 came out, we're watching the first one and it was like, oh my God, this is incredible. This is beautiful. Like, love everything about it. And it got me hyped for the second one. And then in the theater, and it was also an IMAX, and the volume was killing my ears. It was so loud. I felt like such an old man. I was like, is anybody else dying here? And I was so overwhelmed. I was like, that was cool. And I definitely need to let that soak in over time before I can appreciate it. And I don't like that about myself. I wish I could just, but also I have a problem just watching a movie and getting caught up in it, or even an album. I analyze it. I intellectualize it as well. And it's hard to just let it flow over me and be caught up by these characters and everything, you know, it happens, but not as much.
Dude, like the stuff being too loud. I was talking with my friend and, he was saying, because he has a, you know, a couple teenagers and stuff, and I guess there were some kids that pulled up in front of his place and were in the car with the stereo bumping, and he's like, walks out, and he's like, turn the fuck down, okay? But like, you know, when we were younger, it was like, oh, dude, fuck you, man, fuck you, I play as loud as I want. But now I'd be like, I'd probably be doing the same thing. I'd be like, dude, come on, man, I'm trying to be fucking doing my thing here. It's almost Jeopardy time. I'm trying to wind down. Okay, man, I already went to the buffet, and
you're impacting my life. Yeah. It happens. I'm the same way. As we get older, it's weird. It just happens to us. It just happens. One more music thing, and I know this is going to be a shot in the dark that won't connect, but Benjamin. So actually, I'll segue it. In Dune, the guy who comes down from the big ship to probably from representing the Emperor, he comes up, he undoes the scroll, and he like makes an announcement. I forget what the announcement is about. That actor is Benjamin Clementine, who is one of my favorite musicians, who has he has several brilliant albums, but one that really resonates with me, whose name I can't think of at the moment. His first album, and is just absolutely phenomenal. Cannot recommend it enough. Just a true artist.
Okay. And then, so then they put him in Dune. Did he do any music for Dune?
No, didn't do any music for Dune, but if you watch him, or if you ever see him live, which, by the way, I was going to fly out to New York to see him at Carnegie Hall. I was so excited, and he cannot sell tickets in the States, so he ended up canceling the show, and it really bummed me out. But now he's not doing as much music, and he has a family, and I think he's acting more, and I was... Pretty bummed to hear that, or to miss out on that. But
Carnegie Hall is like one of those places. I almost went. I was gonna go, but I didn't. That's another great story.
To do and then did not do.
Yeah, gonna go to Carnegie Hall. But man, because yeah, and it's fucking Carnegie Hall, dude. Like,
why would exactly. You, yep, I was like these two. Thing, like the institution of Carnegie Hall combined with this guy that just absolutely moves me, like this was going to be it, you know, so excited, and never been to New York either, so that was going to be awesome. But
New York's pretty cool, man.
It seems like you
I don't know,
cool. Anyway,
I thought it would suck. I was like, New York's going to be fucking stupid, but it's cool, man. It's fucking pretty cool.
I flew past New York, or did I? Maybe there was a layover in New York or nearby. I can't remember. But anyway, I saw New York on my way to Portland, Maine for a float conference, and it was just massive. I was like, oh my God. Like when I drive into Seattle, I'm like, whoa, Seattle is so big compared to Portland. But then seeing New York, I was like, holy shit. This is why... the movies take place here. This is the hub. This is where everything happens. Like New York, New York, New York is just wild to me. So I really want to spend time there at some point.
Maybe you can see Fish. Maybe Fish will come down from Vermont or wherever.
Their big city tour.
Yeah, do one of those. Yeah, Fish in Central Park probably. Fish at Carnegie Hall.
Yeah, you know what? That would be all right with a symphony backing them. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Which actually, I just found out Beck is doing a couple dates and he's playing with a symphony. So that would be cool. Beck is an interesting guy.
Yeah. I mean, dude, fuck yeah. With a symphony would be fucking
right.
Way cool, man.
Two turntables and a microphone. So are you into Fish and Dave Matthews Band? Where do you lay? No.
I've never been into either one, dude. And it's one of those things like you're not, and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. I don't know. One of my first jokes was about Dave Matthews Band that I wrote.
That's right, because you did stand up.
Yeah, horribly.
The many lies. So yeah. Let's hear it. You need to get into, gotta get yourself pumped up first.
Yeah. No, it was just because I don't know. I don't know if I tell the joke, but the premise
Sure,
of the
sure.
joke was that I would see these stickers that would say DMB, and I thought it was always like a clever way of saying dumb. But and then I found out what it meant. But so
That's
that was
funny.
the premise of the joke. But
Well, yours might actually be funny. Mine is just an anecdote, which is when I first started playing online games. I think it was Phantasy Star Online on Sega Dreamcast.
Dreamcast.
I loved the Dreamcast. I don't know if it was the first online console. I assume it was. And I played Phantasy Star Online, and it came with, there was a keyboard with it, so you could type out and message people before you went on your adventures and everything. And
Whoa.
everybody would always say BRB, 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 BRB. And I thought everybody was saying burp, like they were burping, like online. And it was
Yeah.
just the weirdest thing. And it took me, I don't know, a month or something before I realized, oh, they are saying they will be right. They are stepping away from the game, from their keyboard for a bit. Which I also feel like is just my constant life now, like on social media or how kids talk now, everything is an acronym that I don't understand. Or just going on Reddit, I don't know what anybody's saying anymore.
I don't either, man. I'm like, I'll figure it out someday, but then I won't, but then it'll change, and I'm
Right,
okay with
exactly.
that. So wait, so when you went to Portland, Maine, so did you get, what did you get to flip a coin and decide on the name of if it was going to be, because like for Portland, Maine, so like Portland, Oregon, you know how Portland, Oregon got its name?
Yeah, the coin flip. Was
Yeah,
it Beaverton? Is that what they?
Boston. Yeah,
Oh, that's right.
it's either gonna be
Yes.
Boston or Portland, and Boston won. So,
I can only
Boston.
imagine Portland, Maine was OG. It was original, and then we were just like, so much work to come up with a name. Like, let's do Portland or Boston. We're on the other side. There'll never be any confusion.
Right. And
That's so many miles. That's 2 months of travel. Like, come on.
no one's going to go there. No one's going to go to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And so how was Portland, Maine? How was the
Oh,
float? What?
fantastic.
Yeah, was it during the summer you went there?
Yeah, always late August. Portland,
Perfect.
it was I was like, oh, this is cooler than Portland, Oregon. This is fantastic, especially where Portland's at right now. Amazing food, just really cool older buildings. We have no history on the West Coast, and
Right.
so there's actually like old buildings and brick sidewalks and whatnot, brick buildings, and it's just fantastic. Not like Europe where the history comes from, but certainly more than the West Coast. So yeah, I loved it, and honestly, just eating was my favorite thing in Portland. That was just so good.
Do
But real quick, can we step back real quick?
Sure.
Reddit, do you have a Rusty Diamond Reddit account, and is there a public access podcast Reddit
No,
channel?
not that I know
Why?
of.
There
I
should
don't
be.
know, because I'm learning how to Reddit, and I only
Okay.
read a few things. I as
Well,
they.
Reddit's about to sell out, so I feel like it's the
Ooh,
perfect time now that
I'm
you're going
already there.
big. Reddit's going big.
Selling
Sneak
out.
in there, and you should moderate your own channels so that people can pop in there, ask questions, have their own discussions.
Okay. Yeah,
It's a,
dude.
in my opinion, it's a great place for community, but I'm also edging on boomer. Like, I feel like boomer's not even a generation. It's like as you get older, you just become a boomer. Like, I'm, yelling at kids about the volume of their cars and stuff like that. Or they're driving too fast. That's the one I yell at. Or I honk my horn if they're driving down a street too loud or too fast. Shoot, where was I? Boomer town.
I think that's a good way to do it. We were talking about Reddit and
Oh yeah, so I'm too old for Discord. Like apparently that's like a lot of discussions are going on in Discord. I can't track. I'm like, this is just a live feed. Like, how do we actually have a discussion here? But Reddit, I love because you can have an ongoing chat about a band you like or a podcast or what have you, or just see what other people are talking about. And sometimes you do a Google search and it'll pop up from 5 years ago, but it's still there. Or if it's, I think, less than a year, you can still contribute to it. I'm an audiophile, and I've had questions about audio equipment, and I'll pop into a years old podcast or a years old post, and somebody will reply to me, and it's so cool.
Holy shit.
Or Nine Inch Nails raw audio files. I've had that as well. So it's nice.
So do people just point you in the direction then of where those files are? Or do they direct share with you?
Direct shares. Yeah, I think usually it's like DM me if you want these files and you just trust people. Probably not a great way to go, but yeah.
I mean, it's not the worst thing. The worst thing we've done, taking files in, man. I'm sure there's a lot of other worse files we've taken in than the... whatever
DMing
it's called.
Nine Inch Nails fans.
The DMing Nine Inch Nails things, but
yeah,
dude, Discord, so it's just like a live thing, and then like once it's gone, it's passed, and like that was
okay.
So 2000 and late is what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that
so
what you're
on
with Discord?
You're up to date with Discord then?
No, that's what you just told me, right?
Oh, I mean that's my understanding. I could be completely misrepresenting it. I was really big into a Mission to Zix podcast, this live or not live, but this improv sci-fi show where they built this whole universe improv style. And they had this incredible guy who would do sound effects and post and edit it. So it flowed. Phenomenal podcast. And they would always mention their Discord. So I popped in there and it was just flying by. I was like, I don't understand. I don't know. I'm old.
It's really weird with that too, because you can't, I don't know if that's like a thing, you can't like interact with it when it's going that fast. Cause I would see it with a lot of the live streaming, or like if people are, you know, doing like YouTube live or something.
Mark Rivelet, like, and it's just
all this shit going through, like, oh, hey, shout out to me. And then it's like 48 things come after it. Like, well,
yeah.
Like, well, why didn't you say my name on it or. Something, whatever fucking people do, man.
Anyway, Reddit runs at I think our pace. I think it runs.
Okay. I like it. Yeah. I need to get at that pace, dude. There was for a little while I was doing these things. There's this like this app or website called Whatnot. And it used to be for like selling cards and like stuff like that, comics and you know, those kinds of things, like, I don't know, things like graded, like, or like, oh, this is like a Pokemon card or something, or and so they would sell them, but it was like a live auction. So you're like holding the stuff up and people can like watch along, and then they start bidding on things.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So
it was pretty cool. And then they like, probably 2 or 3 years ago, they opened it up to close. And like, I saw that and I was like, oh shit, dude, I'm getting in on that, man. And then it's like, I'd go in there and like have these clothes up, like hold them up. And then so there'd be a bunch of people in there and then like start bidding on them. And then I'd be like, oh shit, like, oh, 3, 2, oh no, someone else, you know, crazy fucking things, dude. It was a weird time, but it was one of those things like
that's
stuff
crazy.
Would be flying by with people talking and interacting.
Is this before eBay?
No, this
was there
like
sorry.
This like big now. Like you go on there now and like there's tons of people that are doing clothes.
Weird.
Now,
okay.
Yeah. So it's like eBay Live. Because they're doing eBay Live now, I believe, where if you're like a big seller. Like you can do these things. It's basically the same thing as Whatnot, because Whatnot just got so big. Like you can just,
people want that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's cool, man. It's like, dude, I'd be able to go through like in 2 or 3 hours and sell like 80 to 100 shirts, just like one after another.
What? You'd be selling it? So, wow. Okay. We covered a lot of ground here. Can we back up real quick?
Sure.
Were you into card games and are you into card games?
Not at all.
Just the collecting?
No, but I was doing clothes.
So you got in for the clothes specifically.
I got
when
in
they
the clothes.
Made the switch.
When clothes got in there, like I saw something, like some post or something online. And because it was kind of right when I was kind of getting getting a little traction with my eBay store and stuff. And
during a fish live stream, it just went up on the text box on the right. Like, oh, I got to check that out. Yeah.
And I was like, well, then scroll back a whole bunch and fucking found it. And
nice.
I was like, hey, can I get in on this? And then I'm like, but also, yeah, I want to make sure that this guy gets in on it too. And some other people that I knew, and I guess they had seen the ad too and got in on it. And then, so for like, I don't know, it was probably like less than 6 months before it got just tons of people on there selling. Because when it was not a lot of people, it was, you'd have a lot more people coming in to watch. And once it got to be, there's, you know, so many sellers, then and I'm not, you know, I didn't have the whatever the best stuff or the hot ass or whatever else the kids are into.
Don't knock yourself on that, but I am curious, what shirts were you selling? Like, why did you have 80 shirts to sell?
I had tons, man. I was just I don't know, man.
Were they cool?
Yeah. I thought they were cool.
Okay. So there was something like you had cool fashion. Like,
yeah, dude, which I would, like, I wear the same fucking clothes. I probably have like three or four things I cycle through, but I had, you know, I eventually had a whole fucking store full of clothes and stuff. And,
cool.
But now I just have some left. I have a few things left over from it. Yeah, like I had some friends that were in Ohio, and they came across a whole bunch of these old, like those heat transfer, things for shirts. Like you could go to the beach or something, and you
I
get
know what
like
you're talking about.
Yeah. So they had a whole bunch of these ones from like the 90s with all this weird 90s bootleg shit on it. And dude, yeah, so then they go and would like auction off a shirt, and then put like, you get a pick from on the wall, like what fucking prints you want to get on. So like I got some like a shirt with like Spuds McKenzie, but also Michael Jackson on it and stuff.
Nice. Or, okay. Oh, you know, like, that's really cool. Nice.
Yeah. So
that would totally sell. Speaking of which, what are you wearing right now? I've been wanting to ask this before we started recording. I just got a couple glimpses of your shirt.
It's a SpongeBob shirt.
Nice. You know, excellent.
Yeah. But I'll wear those. I'll wear some SpongeBob shirts. You know, they have some SpongeBob ones too that I got that are like probably like eight different SpongeBobs on a fucking tie dye kind of a thing, dude. There's some fucking weird ones I got, but dude, it was fun. It was a blast fucking going on there, and that's where I started saying boom for some reason whenever I would do it. I don't know, I just would.
And so you were live streaming it. It wasn't, we're not talking eBay, you're on camera showing off these shirts.
Yeah.
And there's a hype train, and you're saying boom when they sell.
Yeah. And then so like I'd be like, you know, like let me see, people be like, let me see the back, or let me, you know, let me see the cigarette burns. I'm like, okay, here's some
increase the value.
Yeah. Dude, man, there were some weird things. So when I was in Utah, there was all these Disney fucking, like I got so much Disney stuff, like because you got a fucking family of 16 coming back home from Disney World, and they just eventually end up selling everything or giving everything to the Deseret Industries, which is like the, you know, the Mormon run thrift store.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
So
I
go there.
I didn't know about that. That seems.
I didn't know that until I moved there. I didn't know that it was a Mormon-run thing. But, So I would just go there, like all around there. Dude, I just fucking clean up on those things. I would just have pile. There would be shirts, and then I have a pile that was like Disney stuff, and then I just save it. And within, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, I'd have at least 50 Disney shirts ready to go, man. And people would like, yeah, dude, people would eat that shit up.
Now, Disney, man. Yeah. And like, they have so much like seasonal, or like it, they're always changing up their stuff. People get weird about their Disney.
Yeah, dude.
But then you have to ship everything, right? So I made books. I have a book out, but I did print on demand because I don't want to be responsible for
it's
going to the post office, basically. Like, that's where I'm like, oh God, I'm not responsible enough to follow through.
It's stupid. It's stupid to not do a print on demand book. Why would you want to have books on hand when you can have someone else do it? You take a percentage of it, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Like, they print it up, they ship it, they fucking take care of everything. What is your book? I want to hear about your book.
Well, we're all out of time, but maybe next time we can.
Perfect. Perfect.
Well, I will. I'm joking. Although I am close.
We got to go soon. Yeah.
Got a hard out, but it's a photography book, as I mentioned. I do photography, and so there's a foreword and a afterword. Is it called an afterword? Epilogue? Afterword? And so that's in text, but the rest is pictures. And so that print on demand doesn't do 4-color printing. And so there is a sacrifice for the vibrancy of the color that you do when you do print on demand, which was difficult for me to adjust to. And then you have to kind of re-edit your photos so that they pop as much as they can using, what is it, CMY? Or I forget, whatever 3-color printing is. So there's no print on demand that'll do 4-color. But yeah, CMY. So one of the things I do, like, so I own the float shop, which is sensory deprivation tanks, float tanks, and we have massage as well. We used to have yoga and acupuncture. We used to do a lot of things, but we're more minimal right now, but partially thanks to the pandemic. But we corporate pandemic, god damn it. And what was the other thing? I started another business I didn't start as a business. I guess technically, yeah, I was a business with my buddy Brian, and he was my editor, but I started blogging about running a float center and like just like tips and tricks, basically. And that became a weekly podcast that I did for 7 years or something like that. I forget how long. It's a business podcast. Nobody should listen to it unless you're interested in starting a float center. But I had two of my favorite people I requested to co-host with me. They said yes, and we did that for years. We would take off holiday, like winter break, we would take a month off or so, but other than that, it was basically weekly. And then one of them sold their center, and the other, I think maybe was overworked or something like that. Took a break and then came on with two new co-hosts. And then we did that for years and years and years. And we just recorded our final episode together in December and released that about a month ago. Finally, it was a big episode. We had on old guests or old hosts on there, and it was really cool. So I'll keep doing them occasionally, but by myself, but it's pretty much all wrapped up at this point. But yeah, it was quite a project. Oh, so anyway, sorry. So I started podcasting, and then I started doing float photography for our float center, because the only pictures out there were like young blondes with big boobs getting in and out of float tanks. And it was just like, is this what we want to put out there? Is this what we want to attract? Does this show diversity of who we want to be floating with us? And so I started doing our own float photography for our marketing. And then other people wanted to use it. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I started doing that for free for a while. And then eventually it was like, I started a Patreon that was, I would do a monthly set. And then eventually that evolved to photos, video snippets, athletic floaters, and blog posts. And I don't know what else is in there, but a bunch of stuff. And so that's how that all started. And then last year, I think it was, I released a photography book, Floatography, Floatography. It doesn't come up on Amazon. It so pisses me off. You search it and it shows Floyography or something like that, something about coloring flowers. And then in tiny little font that you literally can't read underneath the search bar, it says, did you mean Floatography? if you click that, my book shows up, and it's great. So I think it should be in every like float lobby. Like it's supposed to just kind of aesthetically show the journey of a float that can take place. And I think it's pretty cool, honestly. I'm proud of it. So yeah.
So Google, fucking get on that. Don't Bogart this shit.
Come on, Amazon. Come on.
Amazon. Yeah, dude. So like, whenever, you know, everyone is out there, is it before or after, or is it either before or after the float that they usually, if they're, someone is going to pick it up and look at it, do you think it's usually before or after the float?
Yeah, I would say it's usually beforehand, but honestly, like, yeah, that's usually people, we have a foot bath, like this little hot tub for your feet. People put their feet in there, they sit back and they open a book, and that's when photography will, you know, shine. Afterwards, people will thumb through it as well, but usually afterwards people are kind of zoned out and just are going to take a seat for a little bit, have some water before they go, or they just kind of go out the door generally, maybe a brief conversation at the front desk. But yeah,
yeah.
So pre-float.
What's your float schedule? What's the Dylan float schedule? When are you getting in there? Like on a weekly basis?
Weekly was the right amount, for sure. But I mean, honestly, since having kids, it's been so haphazard when I get in there. I used to be grappling, you know, doing ground fighting training, and just be like so dead and sore afterwards. And getting into a float tank was just the best thing in the world. I, you know, didn't fully recover by any stretch, but like I could move and I had energy afterwards. It was incredible. And then it became just like, especially as a parent, you're just tired and fatigued all the time. And it was just like, nobody's asking anything of me. I can't do anything. I can't answer an email. I'm just have 90 minutes to myself, and just rest and recovery was just fantastic. And my body, you just would start craving it. And now I'm so off of my rhythm of getting in there that I don't know when my body needs it anymore, like that, because the whole idea is just complete reduction of your sensory input while you're floating on water that's at about skin perception neutral temperature. And so once you feel safe and comfortable on there, you can just absolutely let go of everything, and there's nothing like it.
Right. And yeah, I mean, if you haven't done it, you know, I tell people all the time, like, I'm always talking it up. I'm always like, dude, nice. You gotta try that shit. Like, and you know, some people like will have an excuse, and there's always an excuse for why they don't want to. And I'm just like,
yeah,
but dude, okay. So you like fish, right?
Yeah. You find
you ever been to a fish show, man?
I stopped, like there's only a small percentage of people that are like, oh, spend 90 minutes with my own thoughts doing absolutely nothing. There's a small percentage of people who are like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah. And, you know, there are people that you can explain more, a little bit more detail, and then they're kind of get on the bandwagon. But people who are just like, oh God, no. Yeah. I'm like, I've stopped putting my energy to, like, that's okay. Like this, it might be for you, but we'll never find out. And I'm not going to bend over backwards trying to wrestle you into a float tank. That's not
the people that are going to come. They're going to come there.
Yeah, exactly.
And
they'll find it.
Yeah, they'll find it. And I hope home open people do. So thanks. And where? Yeah, absolutely, dude. And if you're in Portland, you can go there. Go to the fucking float shop, man. It doesn't say the fucking float shop.
We got to rebrand.
Float shop. Yeah, that's gonna be you know, the
cat we have in there, fuckface. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great to put right around the float shop, SHOPPE. It's on Northwest 23rd, and it's a nice 1904 building. I say we don't have old buildings in Portland, but that's one of the older ones.
Yeah, dude, that's really cool. That's awesome.
Super and cozy space.
Yeah. And so, yeah, if you're there, go do it. If not, go. I think most people who are watching this or listening are, you know, the right people for float tanks. But yeah, dude. So people can find you wherever they can find you there, or they can find you. They can get your book on Amazon if they are smart. enough to get past the thing, which you told them. You told them the key, how to get through.
That's right.
Yeah, so they can find you there, get your book, and anything else.
Nah, my daughter's harassing me. She says I gotta go. I gotta
perfect.
Go.
Perfect.
No, and not honestly, like don't
singing the same thing.
Don't visit the podcast. Don't buy the book, anything like that. But I would recommend go find a float tank. I think I honestly couldn't care less if you visit mine. I guess technically, as a business owner, I should care. Yeah, go to mine. But no, honestly, just spend time in a float tank. I think it's an incredible gift, an incredible experience, especially. I think a lot of times people, particularly back in the day when we first opened, Joe Rogan listeners would come in, do it once as like this bucket list thing, like, oh, I did this thing Joe Rogan's talking about. But really the practice of it is where it really starts, kind of, you do the work, even though it doesn't feel like work, that's when the process really starts happening. Find a float tank and experience it, and do it three times would be the minimum, I would say, of like really understanding what it, the benefits it can have on you and the impact it can have on you. The people around you will notice. It's really wild.
Yeah. If you walk into a float tank place and you look at people in the waiting room who just came out of the fucking float tank, dude, you can tell who just came out. I mean, they have a big fucking smile on their face. They just seem at ease and peaceful and fucking
so
living the
true.
Life. They know something. So now you know something, and no one's half the battle. B.I., D.Y., Joe, D.Y.L.A.N., Geo Float. So thank you, Dylan. We'll get you back here sometime, hopefully sooner than later, and we'll actually talk about you instead of just talking about me for a while. So
you are far more interesting, but maybe. I'm game.
Cool, man. Or we'll talk about art when we went to fish.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do a live episode from a fish concert.
Yeah. I think that's where we're going next. Cool, man. Have a good rest of your day, bud.
Thanks, Rusty.
All right. Dylan Calm, dude. You guys go check out a float tank. Go to, if you're in Portland or near Portland, go to the float shop. Fucking do it, man. Worth every penny. Worth every penny. Yeah, you guys. So thank you so much for listening and being here on the Rusty Diamond Podcast Network. And that is the show, man. Boom.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.